to this week on Cast Ranger. We're going to talk about X-Aid episode 46.
E.T., there is no 46.
Yes, there is! No, X-Aid isn't over yet! Mommy!
It's a dream, bro. It's all a dream.
This game never ends!
There is no 46.
I don't want it to be over!
Somebody get Frasier and
Dreamcatcher's back in town, bitches!
I have no idea what's going on.
Cue the roll call.
I'm also here.
We're live! Go! Zenkai Gan!
Connect. Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment Wielder. Blue Caster. Cheetah's Zeal. Loyal and Loud. Green Caster. Lay!
One little spark of courage. Green Caster. Global Soft Perka.
Raining from the capital. Mercury Caster. Overkill.
Respecting the source material. Dreamcaster. Sin Sheen.
Are you ready?
Either I'm here or I'm not. Quantum Caster.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Nobody knows you're wearing gloves, bro.
Now what a nice, clean podcast.
Nobody knows what that sound was.
I want y'all to come out swinging your mouth, yelling.
Not your dick.
Hey,
also,
don't want
maybe
you're yelling.
In the pancreas.
He's asleep. Leave him alone. Are the kidneys okay?
Who's asleep?
What?
Oh, kidneys, yes.
My
right.
Dog.
Oh,
mom's
okay.
Yelling down the stairs for my dog.
Like your
okay.
Fred is somebody.
Guys,
look. Welcome to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
Hi!
As I said, I'm back, bitches.
I'm so
yeah,
excited.
So Greencaster Zenshin has returned.
I'm back, bitches!
From a long, long Odin sleep like process.
Where I was fully conscious.
Like, you haven't been on since probably, like, Drive.
It's a Gandalf sleep.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. Maybe, probably, where I have to rejuvenate my powers every so often, or maybe I was just being lazy. I don't know. I don't care.
It's like the green candle, but like super elongated.
Exactly. It's like a weird reverse of the green candle, where it actually has to rebuild itself rather than whittling down and draining my powers. It actually has to build itself up. But rather than being a candle, it's more, I don't know, like a Lego sculpture of some kind.
You said build! Build confirmed!
Built entirely out of green pieces. Or maybe I was just chilling in the Cast Ranger Complex green room, just dealing with shit. I don't know.
In the green room?
Yeah, it's where I live. Come on, guys.
Returning to us after a couple of weeks' absence is our good friend Dreamcaster.
Hi!
I'm sorry for wrecking the opening again. I don't know why that always happens, and like I know people listening probably think like I do it on purpose just to be silly.
You didn't
something.
Wreck anything. Stop
nobody's
it.
Blaming
you.
Don't
you
worry
it,
about
you
it.
You make it better, my dear.
It's genuinely just me being an awkward piece of crap. I'm sorry.
We're all
You're
awkward
not
pieces
a piece
of crap.
Of crap.
Yeah.
You guys do it okay though. Like, you guys are. Cool.
I'm gonna come over there and I'm gonna hug you until you stop it.
Oh, David.
I'm sorry, guys. Now
you don't want to be hugged by David.
Now it
stinks.
Now it seems like I'm trying to get sympathy, and I really no.
It's all right. Also joining us this week once again for the second week in a row, it's Mercury Caster.
Yay! And I brought another sponsor. Well, not another one, the same one we had before, but I got a sponsor for us. It's really cool, guys. Really awesome sponsor. So tonight's podcast
it's
is brought to you by Fleshlight.
I thought there was John
Tonight's podcast
Kennedy.
Is brought to you by Fleshlight. Fleshlight, go fuck yourself.
No!
And joining us for the first time and probably only time is our good friend, Quantum Caster, The Wrecker.
The Quantum Caster.
Get it? Because Quantum Ranger.
No, he's our longtime friend, Eric, and he's a theoretical physicist in training. And I thought, oh, Build's about a guy who's a physicist. Oh, jokes, let's put my physicist friend on the show.
Yeah,
so
figured out the connection, guy, don't worry.
And yet he still can't tell me how they put the fizz into Pop.
I told you, they fart in it. How many legs does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, Eric? That.
I would have to boycott.
They do lack an imagination. How many physical legs does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Physical.
366.
Well, you would have
to. He calculated it. It's official.
You would have to determine the warmness of the tongue versus the melting point of the candy versus the amount of candy melted per individual.
Yeah, yeah, okay, it's 69.
So if you were to say, or 42, that if
I have the actual answer.
What's going on?
The actual answer is 364 licks to get the center of the Tootsie Pop, and 20 of those licks also will take you to get to the. Through the actual Tootsie Pop center.
It's
to make
e,
it completely flat.
It's e to the pi divided by the derivative of your mother.
What?
Whoa.
Didn't, like, they make a robot to figure this out? Like a tunnel
is that, like, the physicist equivalent
no,
of
I'm
your
not
mom
kidding.
Joke?
Did.
I'm just going to go
no,
with...
No, this is me improvising.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with the commercial. One, two,
you
three.
You can't see it, but I'm wearing boxing gloves right now.
Boxer!
Okay.
Boxer, man!
Okay. So, didn't a new Kamen Rider series just come out?
Yes!
Oh, yeah, that. Right. But before that, we're going to talk about Kyuranger! Getting him out of the way!
No!
Alright, so, Kyuranger episode 28.
I love that it opens with them shoving the fucking full bottles in the culette.
Yep.
That was funny.
And Bell's just like, yo, what's up?
Don't steal my shit!
It's a Hulu battle.
So, further evidence that this little split-up team saga is going to last a while is we get a almost Kamen Rider double-like little opening that shows, like, here's who went to the past, here's who stayed behind to fight Naga.
Yep. It was actually cool.
Yeah.
It's like at the start of Kamen Rider Double, every time like they had like the case that was going on in that episode, they showed everyone involved in the case.
That is exactly what I just said.
Also, really? I feel a need to explain...
Two weeks in a row, you said exactly what I just said.
What was last week?
I don't remember.
Oh. I feel the need to explain that my role here is that of the outsider. I'm not into Kamen Rider. My only connection is thematic knowledge.
Yeah,
that's it.
But
yeah,
it's okay.
He also likes Kingdom
watch.
Hearts a lot.
Give me a freaking break, man.
It's okay. We can.
I haven't talked about that in a freaking year.
It's
you're
okay.
The one that keeps bringing it up.
It's
yeah?
Okay that you're not used to it. This podcast is nothing but a human experimentation, so we can transform you into a warrior of podcasting.
Also, Jay's a bigger fan. Okay. Jay's a much
topics.
Bigger fan. Keep going. Keep rolling. No flow has been broken.
Jay is Whitecaster from that one episode forever ago.
Yeah, forever ago.
Forever.
Hashtag rip Whitecaster.
Anyone who's here since the beginning.
Delta T equals forever ago. Or just when I totally
but he it. Has been watching a lot of Toku. He watched Drive and he fucking loved every second of it. So.
Anyways, so this episode is pretty much mostly about them fighting Naga. And Naga being super, super creepy and savage.
And a real asshole.
He looks like Kadaj.
Kinda.
He does look like Kadaj.
From
observation.
From Final Fantasy Ivan Show.
That's raisins. It's just because it has silver hair.
Sorry.
Did you honestly take my phrase of
a little
that's
bit.
Raisins?
A little bit.
You hack.
That's how he says
you
racist.
You got that from a video.
I'm not just a hack.
Raisins.
I'm not just a hack. I'm a dot hack.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew. That's how that sentence was going to end. The moment it started.
I just want a subtitle underneath just me just aggressively plays Incredible Hulk walking away theme.
I see a picture of Momo-kun. She's my cosplay waifu.
And I respond with a nice, refreshing...
It's the choice of a new generation.
Coke.
That was both my response to Paul's
yep.
anger and my response
no,
to that
no.
pick of Momo-kun.
My mistake, Diet Coke. Pepsi.
At any rate.
You're closest without going over.
That's called a limit.
We're so, apparently what Yellow Buster tells them is, oh, if you hurt Naga really badly, it'll turn him back to normal. And of
which
course they
obvious,
believe him.
Which was
they
obvious bullshit.
Yeah. Like, I actually believed it when I was watching it, so I was like, really? That's simple, huh? And then it happened, and I was like, oh, of course she's bullshitting.
One of two things was going to happen. She was bullshitting, Or that was true, and this whole Naga being evil shtick was going to end real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad it was not the latter.
We got some really cool shots during this whole episode. Like, when, like, Hammy and Garu and Kotaro and Lucky were all transforming, like, they all transformed in really cool shots, like, really fast movements.
Yeah.
But then Lucky had this really nice one where he just stood there and just, like, looked all serious, and then he transformed. I was like, that was awesome.
I refuse to fall for your bullshit. Speaking of Lucky, we actually had a couple of Yoshiluckies this week.
I refuse to fall for your bullshit! Just like Naga just says that. It's
bullshit.
His face is hilarious.
Bullshit!
I know that's not really what he said. Sorry.
Yeah, he even calls like Balance an asshole. He's like, I'm not an asshole, call me Balance!
This whole episode, he was savage. He shot him in the face. He sliced him in the fucking thigh.
Yeah.
He just like went ham on him.
I thought that was his sack. Well, the angle was weird.
And it was even sad because, like, Balance was trying to do, like, their little thing that they do together, like, their BN Thieves, like, intro.
BN Thieves
and he, like, tries to, like, make him finish it, and Nog's just like, no, fuck you, I don't give a shit.
Which is weird because
our combi is gone. And it's like, oh.
I just love that shot where he's fighting Balance, and, like, the scarf on his neck is, like, riding up, so it's, like, covering his
Yeah!
Throat.
No, it's fucking awesome. I love it. It's so cool.
Emily, what did you think of that sequence? Emily?
Hi. What'd you think?
Oh, sorry. I was asked... Sorry, I was trying to figure out how to get rid of this.
Oh.
What did I think of the episode?
Yeah.
About Naga being super savage to hell or everyone.
Well, honestly, it actually... Sorry, I'm really sorry. I don't want to wreck this.
That's my job.
Sorry, I was actually...
Ah!
Did you just say the F word at me?
No, she tried to scare you because you have hiccups.
Yes.
Holding breath usually works
for me. I tried to start to leave with the...
Okay.
Anyways.
It might have worked a bit. Thank you. I'm sorry about this, guys. Also, that picture is awesome. It's with Build and with Cure Whip.
Yes.
But, the... No! No, not Cure.
Anyways!
Oh, sorry. Sorry. What I was going to say was I thought it was actually surprising how savage Naga was. Like, when they do the turning evil, it usually does, A, doesn't last more than an episode, and B, is usually not this evil.
Yeah.
Like, he really, like, tore into them. Like,
literally.
Also, remember, he's not being controlled or anything.
Yeah,
he's choosing to be like this.
Well,
he is!
This is why his species...
We don't
their
know
emotions.
This for sure.
Yeah.
She could have, like, released his emotions and planted a suggestion in him.
He kind of reminds me of Dark Mercury from Pretty Good.
No, but when you think about it, like, he explained, oh, Naga, like, my race, like, we used to have emotions,
yeah,
and it, like, caused us to rage war on each other, and we were aggressive and angry,
yeah,
and stuff.
That's why he decided
so,
to,
I guess.
Yeah, so...
I'm willing to believe either at this point.
Because
yeah.
They're Vulcans.
Yeah, that's... What happened was he basically... It was like years and years, an entire species
worth
of primal race.
And as further evidence, we meet another of his race from Ophiuchus.
Oh, sorry for interrupting. But I also noticed that I think one of the reasons they're really going so hardcore on this is because it's because Balance is a robot.
That's probably a factor.
So they're allowed to show him getting chunks cut out of him, just like they showed Champ exploding.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to...
I was worried that Balance was going to, like, completely die like Champ did.
I thought that was
going to
happen, too.
But, so we get introduced to another of Naga's race, a female, also played by the same actor, because the whole people are like that.
How does that not turn into a bureaucratic nightmare?
Her name is Echidna.
As in Knuckles the?
No.
As in I believe just, there's a Homestuck denizen named that, so I'm guessing it has some kind of celestial meaning.
Uchu Sentai Kyuranger and Knuckles.
Okay, so Echidna was one of the original monsters during the aftermath of the Titanomachy, and she married Titan and gave birth to pretty much every single Greek mythological monster that you can think of.
Whoa.
Mythology
heavy.
With Paul.
That's what I do, guys. Screencaster, coming back
every,
second.
Everyone
things.
On this show has a specialty.
Yes. Well, yeah.
With guards.
Well,
mystery.
Everyone but me.
I also want to mention that graph did not accurately represent projectile motion.
We're not there yet.
I know. I just want to throw that in.
Talk about it when we talk about it.
Okay.
I know it's your first time, but you got to stay on topic.
So then we get the
don't
we get
blow
the,
your load too early. Here.
We get the secondary, like the team is going back to the past, whatever. So they're going through the portal, and then like Ron Post is like, no, don't, my back won't take it. They go through. Ah. Oh, my back's better!
I love it. They finish traveling through time, and they broke the the ship broke so hard that it shuffled Sho's spine back into place. Well done. This show really knows.
Yeah, I knew they were going to keep his back broken for
I'm not going to say that's impossible. It's not possible.
Eric, you're questioning the logistics of
show for 12-year-olds, man.
Hold on, there's a word I'm trying to think of. You're questioning the logistics of chiropracting in a show that in less than 5 seconds ago involved time travel.
Hey, man, time travel could happen. You never know. I'm just saying. Man.
I don't believe in chiropractors.
I at least
I'm
don't believe
in chiropractors.
I have chirophobia.
You're afraid of a city in Egypt?
That offends me. That offends me. I have a. I identify as a chiropractor.
The height of comedy, guys.
I identify as Cairo, Egypt.
Oh my goodness. Again, you identify as a desert city.
It's just like the whole joke with when you say, oh, I'm homophobic because I'm afraid of homes.
I never heard that in my entire
That's good.
Life.
Yeah. Or whole milk.
So the team goes back to the past to watch the shitty fight that sucked ass.
I knew that was coming.
because we get to see Cuervo die all over again. That must have been jarring for Tsurugi.
Yeah, like Tsurugi was like watching it twice. Like he was watching Cuervo die, like himself, like present Tsurugi, and then past Tsurugi was also watching Cuervo die, and then Tsurugi was watching Tsurugi watch Cuervo die.
Are we?
So.
Watching...
Oh, I've gone all cross-eyed.
Are we watching Twin Peaks? What the fuck happened, Jesus?
But
no, yeah,
something I don't think we saw in the previous recollections of the story is when Ho-Oh Soldier fights and defeats Don Armage, he grew fucking actual phoenix wings.
Good old...
It was a nice shot of him slashing at
him.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Tsurugi, you're impressing me, I must say.
I know. I can't wait until this phoenix-winged person goes after Rick.
God damn it.
So, we learn from Balance the story of how he met Naga.
Nobody
doesn't know that.
It turns out that...
If not, they can look it up.
It turns out that Naga, or Balance, was actually stealing shit from Naga's home planet, and in the midst of him running away from the people that I can only refer to as the Nagards...
Oh, that was excellent.
It became FF10.
I feel like Lane was actually laughing and Eric was patronizing me.
I don't know what
that was. I was actually laughing. That was really funny.
It was
Nagards.
Thank you.
I was imitating FF10 for some reason.
Like, oh, EG.
So I was right.
Patronizing
it's quantum randomness, okay? Just whatever.
Quantum randomness.
Just whatever.
Can't just put quantum in front of everything, Eric.
And randomness.
I don't give a quantum shit.
Whoa.
So Balance lies to Naga to escape the planet from the guards.
Either shit or
it's kind of a flimsy pretext for something that turned into, like, a pair of phantom thieves, basically. But whatever.
I love when they're escaping. Naga's just points like in a direction. He's just like escapes that way.
I can have flair too. See, that's not an emotion.
I'm guessing a lot of stuff happened between that meeting and when we met.
See, now we need a V-Cinema episode of Balance and Naga.
Absolutely, and I really
of their adventures as the BN thieves.
Yeah,
I would love it.
Or after the show, they just continue to be the BN thieves.
Yeah. But no, we get Stinger saving planet Sleepy.
You're never going to get over that.
Oh, it's the greatest name for a planet ever. Plant Sleepy in the Norma Galaxy.
God damn it.
That sounds like Norma Sleepy sounds like the name of a cafeteria lady.
Right?
So.
I don't know why.
Norma Sleepy, could you please report to the principal's office?
Is your
Norma Sleepy.
How about you just plugged your nose to
I
do the
gotta
voice?
Get Brad McIntyre to take me to the prom! Oh, Norma Sleepy. You're always trying to get that dick.
I love you, Norma Sleepy!
The summer's hot as fuck.
Is that a high school cafeteria?
Did we just write a rom-com?
My name's Norma.
A shitty one, but yeah.
Well, the trailer for one.
My name's Norma.
Mike Wazowski.
To the point!
Wazowski, I used to live in a small town until I found an even smaller town.
Oh, God.
Now I just stand in the middle of a small square drawn with chalk.
I love to a sloth!
Anyway, so they fight Naga again.
Gangrams. Don't worry about it.
It was Roz from Monsters, Inc. but saying a bunch of random stuff.
Shishi Red goes sunflower face mode, and Tenbin Gold gets a weird little glowy effect as a result.
I can't imagine.
And then Golden Metal just, like, have a fun little romp down the staircase while I sing Free Ride from the Power Rangers.
Come on, Free Ride!
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da! Let's get something to eat, guys!
No, instead of music on top of that, what you need to do is you need to get, like, those sound effects from, like, an old Tom and Jerry cartoon where it's just, like, the exaggerated falling down the stairs sounds.
Also the birds around the head, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Edit some birds around the guy's head. Yeah. Maybe make his teeth move in and out like piano keys somehow and... You know, it'll be comedy gold, you guys. Like, people will be all like, holy shit.
And the,
really
the romantic heartbeat. Because, you know.
And the heart needs to be bursting forward without actually breaking the skin. Somehow alluding to the fact that the character does not have a rib cage, at least not in that particular spot.
Akamba
summons two random giant Tsuyoi Endeavors because we need a goddamn Zord fight this week.
I don't know what those things are.
And, like, it pissed Ichi off. So, like, so Lucky uses the Sagittarius Kutama, makes a clone of Garu, and then, like, Kotaro's off, like, helping Balance, like, get his shit together. So it's like, alright, let's make Kyureno, and they, like, all, both Garus and Hammy both summon their Voyagers, and then they just both make the arms and legs.
They could have easily just pointed Gemini at the Voyagers, but no, just the fact that there are two Okami Blues and two Chameleon Greens is reason enough for there to be duplicate fucking Voyagers!
Well, yeah, they need pilots to pilot them.
See, I'm wondering why... Sorry, did I interrupt?
No, please.
I'm wondering why they didn't just... Use the Gemini to make a million balances, and then power them all up with the Hikari Kutama.
See, that would have been smart.
And especially since it's like a balance-centered episode, it could just be like an army of balances fighting for Naga.
Screw it! All four gold limbs.
Fuck, the Gemini Kutama's busted.
Well,
yeah.
It did cause that large...
Or rather, it would be busted if they knew how to properly use it.
It did cause the many Yoshiluckies that one time.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Now I'm just thinking about the Voltron roll call, but it's just, form feet and legs! Form feet and legs! And I'll form feet and legs!
that's like an early 2000s era YouTube
poop. That's a YouTube poop.
Yeah!
Right?
I'm sorry.
But yeah, this whole time I'm thinking,
form
like...
Form dinner.
let's say Naga stays evil. Let's have Echidna be the new Heavy Sky Silver. I think that'd be cool. Don't get me wrong, though. I love Naga Ray. He's my favorite Key Ranger, but I'd like to see them shake the formula up a little. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, of course.
So, whatever. They use Twin Break and defeat the Tsuyoi's because they don't fucking matter. And then a distress signal across time washes forth.
And who is it for?
And then they immediately find the ruins of the Oriongo that look like they're from hundreds of years ago, which means some shit happened in the past.
And there's some British-sounding chick protecting the ruins with a stick that she breaks in half that whistles when she swings them.
That's the wrong
chick. It's more like nails on a chalkboard!
Tosia. That miserable, meddlesome, wicked she-devil of a witch. If she gives them to the great power of...
Whoa.
So next week we meet male Dulcea, aka Orion.
Yes.
Oh, and we got the old ending back featuring Tsurugi.
Really?
I was actually really surprised that, like, they didn't, like, you know, turn Naga back to normal in, like, this episode. I'm really glad they didn't. I'm glad he's still going to be Hibitsukai Metal.
I am glad this is going to be an extended plot point.
But no, it was a really good episode. Like, It was really shocking too, because like Kidna's like, yeah, I'm gonna go kill like Naga or whatever like that. I have to kill.
And
Balance just like, whatever, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Just letting you know, I'm gonna rescue Naga no matter what.
Balance versus Echidna, it's gonna happen.
Yep. Just Naga hands him like hands her his old fucking Hibitsukai Kidama. Just need to go be Yubikyu Ranger. I don't give a shit.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like, so she's from Hibitsukai Zake, because that's, like, their galaxy. Mm-hmm. It'd be funny if she just busts out, like, a Hibitsukai Ranger form of a different color. Just, like, Hibitsukai fucking brown.
Also,
or
we
I don't know.
Also, we prove that apparently if one of Naga's race uses their technique on another of Naga's race, it works.
Yeah, that was cool.
And I was like, oh, that works on, like, the same person.
Or maybe it's just because he's weaker because he's given in to darkness.
Hey, you mentioned it, not me.
He's giving in to Richard Epcar.
The Joker?
I am giving
gave
you
into the Joker?
Ultimate side.
Fine, Billy Zane.
The dude from Titanic?
Ansem!
Wait, Billy Zane plays Ansem?
In number one.
Oh.
Ansem?
Really?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Billy Zane.
The villain from Titanic?
Yeah, dude.
The dude who played...
The Phantom?
Kit Walker?
That guy from that Uwe Boll film? Is fucking Ansem?
Anywho.
Inti, why are you looking at a watch that's not there?
Anywho,
I'm waiting for this bit to be over.
It might be there or it might not be there.
This isn't a bit, it's called derailing.
Guys, what do we all think of the episode?
I thought it was really, really good, actually. There was a lot of, like, tension between Naga and Balance, and it was great.
I'm genuinely worried about what's gonna happen next.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
I saw
some physics references written here and there.
It was Power Rangers.
That's not the show we're talking about yet.
Oh my god. Okay.
I am not caught up on the show.
But you are going to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I caught little snippets of this episode. I didn't want to spoil myself for any sort of later on endgame plots.
So instead you listen to us spoil it.
Well, I had to sit in the room anyway.
You'll probably forget it by the time you get back caught up.
I've watched a couple episodes at the beginning. The characters are engaging. The suits are really cool. I like how inventive they decided to get with this. It's not just a bunch of... I don't want to say uniforms, but... kinda. They all kinda are just... Like, the differences are often just in the helmet and in the color. And it gets boring. And I like the fact that this show... has a wider variety of suits, and it's not just humans. Like, I like the fact that there's the bull dude. I like the fact that we have a robot. It kind of reminds me of Firefly. I'm just gonna say that right now. Like, the whole, honestly, the show reminds me of Firefly from the in terms of the premise, the dynamics of the characters. It reminds me of a Super Sentai version of the show Firefly.
Cool.
Which was in some way based on the anime Outlaw Star, so it all comes
like a Q-tama.
It all comes spiraling back.
Why
like
you
an atom into a fucking new
well,
place.
Make sure,
even though that never technically happened.
Make sure once you've caught up on Q-Ranger, you give us your report on the show up to this point.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my thought. That's my very basic... very introductory viewpoint on Q-Ranger, and that's that.
Dave, are you still there?
Yeah.
You have anything
I, just
to say?
I didn't watch the Sentai, so I was quiet.
Okay.
Also, Dave.
What?
Also, too close to the sun caster. AKA Mercury caster.
So he's blind.
All right. Let's get to the feature topic.
Let's build up.
No.
Like potential energy.
I don't want to build up.
Try it.
And now for what I've been building up to. Build, 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 build.
Build Nye the Rider Guy.
Build Nye the Rider Guy.
Bill, Toku rules.
Kicking is a property of riders.
Bill, no.
Guess you're the rider guy now. Click.
Bill, die something.
You know, physics can be really remarkable, and I can't think of any cooler example than the rider kick. The ride.
Consider the following.
Not even yeah, that's our first featuring pointing hand.
Okay, build has begun.
And in the same way that the last series reminded me of Firefly, this series reminds me, at least of the visual cues, of every American blockbuster within the past 10 years. I see shades of the MCU. I heard them refer to something that sounded like a reference to, like a verbal pun on Skyfall, which is a James Bond reference. I'm looking at this and I'm just kind of like, okay, so the actual theme seems to be American pop culture references, and the motif seems to be physics. I don't think it isn't lost on me the fact that Japan has been, I know it's three separate segments and I'm kind of getting ahead of us here, but I think it's really interesting the fact that Japan has been neatly divided into two halves.
I wouldn't say neatly, there's some pretty jagged borders.
You could fold it in half and it would be essentially the same amount of space per capita on either side. It's just one side is divided into two smaller chunks. One side happening to be rather politically liberal, you heard them, they say one advocates for pacifism while the other focuses on, like, you know...
One is economic recovery and one is social welfare.
Social awareness and advancement, and the one that's connected to the one that's social advancement is an advocate for pacifism. You literally have the left and the right.
Which is really weird when you think about the fact that the section of Japan, Toto, that is quote-unquote focused on traditional pacifism is the section of the country that built a fleet of killer robots.
Right?
Yeah, that is a little bit strange.
Although, I was looking at the details of they're called the Guardians, by the way. I was looking at the details of them on the TV Asahi website, and they're labeled as Guardian Toto version, which makes me think that we're going to see different versions of them in the other two sections of Japan.
I'm just going to say this
How
right
do you
now.
Travel between
Considering the political narrative of the world at large right now, I do think it is kind of funny that they've made such an inherently political setting choice and decided to base a lot of the visual jokes on American pop culture. I think that's kind of cute.
I just love how people have just taken the division of Japan into the three sections and totally memeified it. I've seen, like, where the three sections are the three teams of Pokemon Go. And
yeah.
Oh, I don't see it as memeable.
One was Bandai, Hasbro, and Mattel.
I saw the Bandai, Hasbro, and Mattel.
I don't necessarily see it as memeable. I see it as fascinating. I actually think it's a pretty...
I am interested to see what we do with this sort of idea.
It looks like the wall, actually, like, if you cross on top of it, you can, like, explode.
Oh, God.
There is a wall, isn't there? Like the people who flew up into the sky and exploded when the wall came up.
The Great Wall of Japan?
And on that day, humanity was given a grim reminder.
It isn't just a wall you can climb over. Like, it actually makes, like, a force field of some kind.
Now I'm just imagining the villain or whoever it was that caused those barricades to go up just while planning this. I will build a great wall.
I was thinking that, too.
I'm going to make Japan pay for it.
No, they just, like, we do see the map of Japan where all the sky walls separate. I'm like, why don't you guys just, like...
Drive
boats around, and you're
gonna make them
pay for it. They better explain, we can't, like, sail around, because...
Yeah, I want to see a boat try and go around the sky wall, and the wall will just, like, automatically extend as far out as the boat goes.
If the wall goes all the way out as far as the boat will go, does that mean that it will also, if that boat lands on the beach... And they get out to walk around the wall. Will the wall keep going across the land? If that's the case, can they just build a wall that goes all the way around the entire planet?
That is a good question that we will never, ever, ever know the answer to.
All I'm saying is, if the end boss villain does not have an orange skin and a comb over, it will be a devastating missed opportunity. Because not only did they divide a country into extreme examples of the left and the right, but he put up walls.
Okay, we're going to build a wall.
I get it, because the monsters are called Smash, and
so
there's
they
a wall.
The wall.
The final monster needs to smash that wall.
Yes.
We're going to make the Mongolians pay for that wall.
Damn Mongolians.
The Mongolians.
So there was a guy. There was a guy who apparently. During when they were showing off like the Pandora box, what they got from Mars, like some guy just came up and like tried to like touch the box, and he did. So the theory right now is that that was Sento for some reason.
I can see that being a thing.
Yeah.
One thing that leads me to believe that they're riffing like very softly on American blockbusters. Look at that fucking thing. It looks like the Tesseract.
Rips
and
off
then there
that.
Was also Tony Stark.
And I thought
yes,
I was joking.
And a guy who looks like Tony
when
Stark.
I thought I saw Asian Tony Stark.
No,
no. I'll show you a picture of Chris Steinbelt. That's
oh yeah,
fucking
no,
Asian
absolutely.
Tony Stark. Is there an Asian Hulk? Could they work an Asian Hulk into this?
Bravo.
Hmm?
Bravo.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Hulk
or
son?
No, Psycho no Hokuru.
So the man that people are calling Japanese Tony Stark is Himuro Gentoku, the head of the research institute that is studying Pandora's box.
You sure it's not Tony Stark's
son? I just love the fact that after this disaster happened where there wasn't enough security to protect the Pandora's box, which resulted in the skywall that split the fucking country in three. After that incident, they put the box in a big wide room with two guards.
Because
two guards to protect the thing that destroyed Japan!
And I'm willing to
really
bet that they are a cycling group of guards, each of which has a de-escalating amount of time towards retirement.
Also, they probably...
Well, I think everyone has a de-escalating amount of time.
The morning shift
until,
has a
until
person
retirement.
Who's...
Unless
three
we're going backwards
retirement.
In fucking time.
Stupid question. When you say it destroyed Japan, do you mean just the economy, or did it literally slice
well, I mean,
Japan?
One of them.
The
one
way
of the,
you worded that.
One of the three countries is about economic recovery, so it probably did destroy Japan's economy.
A lot
there's
of people died when those walls formed too.
Yeah.
What was that, Eric?
There's still international trade.
This is not the show to get into international trade policy about.
Yeah, that's where the story
also, is. How do we know the boats can okay. still go to the island?
I hope that we bring this up at some point, at least.
What do you think of the plot of Build, Emily?
Oh, the plot of Build. Well, we don't really know what the plot is yet. We're just sort of getting into it.
No, but just like
your...
We know
that there are fugitives and there are people getting experimented on.
Yeah.
It's really... It seems a lot darker than XA, even though XA
yeah.
got pretty dark.
As we talked about previously, they are taking a lot of cues from the Showa series writing this. It's about an evil organization that kidnaps humans and transmogrifies them into monsters, and the hero character is a genius scientist who fights with the powers that he was given by escaping from the villain organization, it's safe to assume.
Honestly, I'm reminded a lot of Kamen Rider Black. Not necessarily from the story perspective, though yes, from the story perspective. Also from the aesthetics, like, I look at his suit, it's very simple, very minimalistic, much like Black's. It's got the two antennas shaped in the exact same way as Black.
Well, they're not shaped the exact same way.
One's just kind of a bigger version of the
well,
other.
I mean, one's a tank barrel, one's a rabbit ear.
Yeah, well, I like to think of it
the
this way.
The orientation, you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, like, double was very clearly... inspired by Black, and this was very clearly inspired by Double.
Sure.
And I just kind of go...
vicariously.
Like, you know, some of the more like, you know, oh, people are being experimented on scenes and stuff like
yeah.
that. It's the same sort of aesthetic that Black would have tried to take on, because it, in and of itself, during its generation, was that show that was trying to be a bit more mature. It was trying to be a bit more... I don't know, like, instead of being something that came on at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock after school, it felt more like something that came out around 6:30 or 7 o'clock, around dinner time. Well, parents probably would have been able to watch it, too.
Or, God help us, 9 o'clock.
I mean no.
That used to be super late for me.
Past our bedtime.
Black had some legitimate violence to it. Like, it was a darker show. People fucking died in that show.
Children were being used for bad shit.
Yes, children were turned into cyborgs and made into guerrilla soldiers that were going to be auctioned off to the highest bidder and would have become...
Guerrilla soldiers, pretty accurate, since we got a monster this week that fights with powerful fists.
That's
which will probably
the
be
thing.
The gorilla full bottle.
Is that what he meant by gorilla?
No,
I
he
thought
did,
he meant
no,
gorilla
like,
warfare.
Like gorilla warfare.
That is
he did, I was making
ding,
a bad
ding,
joke.
Ding, you, ding, ding, ding.
no, ding, ding,
yeah,
ding,
like
ding,
this,
no.
This show, like, it seems like it's going for a little bit of a harder edge, at least where, like,
Out of the Edge.
Yeah, basically. It's a Kamen Rider series, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm liking this.
Where it's... So it does have that same sort of, yes, we make this show for kids sort of feel. But where it's trying to really get noticed, where it's those times where you're like, you're really supposed, the scenes are supposed to stick with you, they're not afraid to get a little darker with you.
We make this show for kids and edgy teens.
Yes. Yes.
But honestly, after watching this first episode, I've been getting used to, like, Build's design, because, like, it's nice, but, like, it just wasn't, like, to me, it wasn't, like, Kamen Rider Drive nice, but, like, I am liking his design. It's literally
Double and Drive as one form.
No, I know, and that's why I'm seeing the more Drive aspect of Build now, so I'm looking at it, and I'm like, no, that's pretty.
I swear to God, you just put Build in Rabbit Fire form, and it's fucking Drive.
I think there's a lot of potential for him to have some stupid-looking forms.
You saw that list of bottles we were talking about during Extra?
Yeah.
There will be stupid forms for days!
It's gonna be amazing.
Well, what's honestly a shame, too, is, like, we heard, like, me and Ichi listened to, like, a video where, like, a person, like, hacked the belt and, like, we got to hear all the best matches. They're all pretty much sound exactly
they're
the
all,
same.
Yeah, they're all
like,
kind
it's
of same-y.
The same, like, thingy, like, phrase, and then the name of the best match. And I'm just like, it's not really exciting, so I'm like hoping like his final form and super form and stuff has like really exciting chimes to it. So,
can I just point out that the probe that was sent to Mars was named Kiwami?
Oh, yeah,
that was a weird reference
nice
to make.
I don't think the Japanese sent the first probe to Mars, but I could be mistaken.
Well,
I mean,
the reason we're mentioning it is there's a Kamen Rider form called Kiwami from a previous show,
and he is a space god.
True. Oh my God, where did they send it in honor of Kota?
Yes! I think that's the implication.
What if Kota...
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though.
Isn't Gaim in an alternate universe?
This show has to be an alternate universe because the disaster of Skywall happened 10 years before the show starts.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, it's just like Q-Ranger, we're getting another alternate reality show.
Oh, was it 10 years?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice
alternate
that.
Alternate reality show.
10 years ago, they found Pandora's Box on Mars in the room that was the same room... That was Ganma Land in the Spectre
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, Ganma Land.
And also the same area where Kota found out about the... Whatever the villains were in that...
The Overlords?
Yeah, where the Overlords were.
Just use that...
Kota planted the Pandora's Box on Mars.
They just use that
oh, God.
Temple as much as they can. Like.
Yeah.
He's bored,
wait,
so he's just like...
Does that mean
just
Mars
like
is like... Mars was the planet...
Mars was Helheim?
Mars was Helheim?
No! I got it! Freaking the Pandora's box they brought to Earth, and it was Helheim, and Helheim was inside, and they opened it up, and Helheim came loose, and then that's where, like, Demushu and Roshiro and all that
God
were from.
God damn it.
Build is just a precursor to Gaim!
They have a bit of similar flavor, but...
Also, one of the people in the crowd during that flashback, one of you guys thought it looked like Taro Koro from Kabuto?
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
I saw him.
I don't know for sure if that's his actor, but he looked like him.
So then, yeah, we cut to what's-his-face, Gentoku, and he's, like, talking to the reporter. And she's like, oh, yeah, what about, like, the mysterious Kamen Rider?
Takigawa Sawa.
That's been fighting the Smash. And he's like, oh, yeah, so I'd be very interested. Maybe we could go to a hotel room and talk about it until morning. And then it just takes her, And it just takes her, like, a minute to realize, wait, what?!
Nani?
And then proceed like she's talking to her boss on the phone, and
she's
it's like,
a reporter.
What do you mean, go to the hotel room with them? Like, I should go there.
I don't know how they got away with that, to be honest. That was really blatant.
That you know what? That's something that would have been, like, used in a show, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So then Japanese April O'Neil gets attacked.
Yep.
By the Spike Smash.
Good old Japanese.
And then Build shows up Agito style to save her and capture the Smash into his Poke Bottle.
Yep.
Or seal him like an undead. There's so many references I can make.
The bottles have like a weird spider web design on them before they.
Yeah, I think it's because they're like catching it, because it's like a net.
Yeah, oh, that makes sense.
I mean, we get to see, like, more of Sento's characteristics, which I honestly, I'm liking him.
He's a really cool pro tag, I must say.
He's not like Philip level eccentric, but I think we can get along.
I love his enthusiasm for what he does. Like I really respect that.
I really hope the hair boner shit is not as consistent as it was in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean it's probably gonna almost disappear by the end of the series.
It'll disappear by the '20s when shit starts getting serious.
I hope people hope people make Jimmy Neutron jokes with him later. It'll just be like brain blast.
Well, the way it went into his belt, that was all I could think was brain blast.
Oh yeah, when it showed the innards of the belt.
Build, build, build! Belt blast!
That used to scare the crap out of me.
So multiple times throughout the episode, we get alluded through Sento's fuzzy memories to his time where he was experimented upon. And he talks about the gas mask people and Batman!
And Wolverine.
He even said, at one point, described him as a guy of a black suit with a bat symbol on it. Just like...
You're gonna rip something off, be subtle about it, kind of, mate.
So we have confirmed, thanks to a Gamma Ride card, that he's called Night Rogue, not Nitro.
And it is actually two words, not one.
Yeah, and
I'm surprised, but at the same time, I think I like that name better.
Yeah, I like his design, just not the horn. The horn's so weird, it turns me off so much.
It's Daredevil.
I'm calling him Captain Cockface. That's his new name in this series, like for all of us. His new name is not Night Rogue.
Captain Cockface!
Yes.
Should he hang out with Bunghole?
That was an Epic Lloyd Captain reference for anyone who could pick up
on
that.
Is it because he has like a structure coming out of his forehead?
It looks like a pylon or something.
It might have something to do with that.
He's got a lot of like nitro steam tubes on him.
To quote Paul Rudd from 40-Year-Old Virgin, looks like a poltergeist.
Sounded like you said 4-Year-Old Virgin. And for a second, I was just like,
no!
I would hope all 4-year-olds.
Yeah, I know. I would hope so.
Goodness,
too.
No.
But yeah, I like Night Rogue. It's pretty safe to say that it's Gentoku who's him, although there are some people who are speculating that it might be secretly Takigawa.
I don't care. I'm speculating that he's got a cock on his face, so.
I like the rest of the design to a degree that I'm willing to forget that's there.
I'm kind of more...
How do you forget a cock on a dude's forehead?
I'm kind of more looking...
I don't mean literally, fuckface!
Can you imagine, though, if instead of saying, like, he has a black suit and a bat symbol, he said he has a black suit and he has a sort of very phallic thing coming out of his head?
A guy in a black suit with a dick on his forehead!
I just want from now on, every time they do, like, a flashback to Night Rogue and you just see him sitting there in his chair, you see, like, a sensor over his horns.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I put a black bar right on his head.
It is black already!
Okay, whatever, that won't look any different. There's a little more boxy.
You know what? That'll be the thumbnail.
There's a little more boxy. That's all.
I kind of have a feeling I'm going to like Bloodstark. I'm excited for Bloodstark.
Bloodstark's going to be Japanese Tony Stark.
Bloodstark?
Yeah, so he's
like... Oh my god, I never realized that!
Sounds like a cool show.
You and I need to both buy, like, the gun things and then just...
By the way, I forget who or where I saw it, but I think it was PokeGold on YouTube, one of our fans... He showed us a clip. He showed me a clip from the Japanese Gamba Rising arcade game.
I watched that.
Of Night Rogue's henshin, and you're like, you don't see who it is, but you see like a shadow. And apparently, they do actually put the steam gun up to their head, like a Persona 3 summon, and pull the trigger. And instead of like an actual bullet, it just shoots steam, and the steam like flies out around them, and they transform.
And then the fireworks go up. The gun's going like
that
bat,
is so
bat,
cool.
Bat.
And then it's like, and then it says smash, and then he like fires it up, and fireworks happen.
Yeah,
that actually
cool.
sounds.
That
pretty
sounds
awesome.
Like the most badass henshin, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
And then they retcon it because kids killed themselves
with steam,
just like all those kids. Who
no, they pick up like they pick up daddy's gun and
I'm
go
sorry.
Persona.
It'll shoot steam. Oh,
I'm Night Rogue.
Probably gonna happen.
Yeah, but guns are like
it's
almost
a game where you fucking
to
shoot yourself.
It's not like America where like any kid could just get
So we get to see like Sento, he like he wakes up and then like he has like a
he got jigglypuffed
by
Misora.
Yeah, Misora, who she's adorable.
You know what? I have to agree with you, and I'm holding out so many hopes that she's as interesting as she seems to be because she looks really adorable and I like the like lazy like shut-in look that she's
like
got going on.
Well, it's because she was tired because she was up all night making a full bottle. So.
She was purifying it based on what we were reading.
Yeah.
So she has some sort of ability to purify the full bottles, and I'm guessing it has to do with that bracelet she's got on. So I'm really holding out hope that she turns out to be interesting because she looks really
good. Or she's a mutant.
Maybe she was a Smash once.
That's kind of an idea.
Then we get introduced to Spada's dad.
Oh yeah, the cafe owner guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, Spada's dad, it's Misora's dad, but yes. So
he's like, Buongiorno, and he wears like a hat like Spada does.
Isurugi,
oh my god,
Soichi.
I forgot, yeah, he sounds like, I'm like, yeah, new Brave! And then I'm like, no wait, that's not Brave. Bravo, that's it.
So Isurugi Soichi, Misora's dad, coffee dad, basically this show's version of Sojiro Sakura from Persona 5 because he also runs a cafe in the middle of an alley.
It was hilarious. When me and Ichi watched the Raw, like, we see Sento coming out of the lab, like, through a fridge into the cafe, and he's just like, ah!
The fucking fridge in their cafe is a fake door! That's some Day of the Tentacle bullshit! I love it!
But, like, we find out, like, the cafe is, like, in an alleyway, and I'm just like, P5 confirmed! It's Cafe LeBlanc!
I just want this cafe to hire a new temporary worker, and I want them to just open the door and discover the lab.
Open the door. Also, I just realized it's Kenro's secret base.
There you go.
There, it's in a fridge, too.
And
I guess fridges are just a place where they have secret bases in Japan.
So, like, yeah, so the thing with Sento is he doesn't remember really anything before he, like, you know,
he woke up in an alley with no memories next to the cafe.
Yeah, before, like, Soichi found him. And,
it's been 6 months since, because he has 6 months of rent racked up.
I just like the... No, a year's worth.
I thought it was 6 months.
TV Neon said a year. But no, I liked when Soichi's talking to him about the memory thing, he goes, like, Kitokun! And it's, like, this face he made afterwards.
Yeah.
He looked, like, really serious, like, well, did you figure out anything?
Yeah.
Like,
But he mentions that Sento actually created Kamen Rider Build completely on his own in order to search for this Batman.
So I believe officially for the first time ever in Rider history, a Kamen Rider protagonist created his own system.
There's been a lot of talk about that on Facebook, and I think we can all agree on that.
That's awesome.
The first lead rider to completely independently create their rider system.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Does that mean he recorded the voice for it too, though?
Maybe.
That's not Sento.
Did he just hire a guy to be like, okay, so now it's going to go, are you ready?
You know what would be the best thing ever?
If
the voice of the build driver was just a regular customer of the cafe?
He comes in, he's just like, coffee!
Coffee! Are you ready?
I'm sorry.
No, I have to brew it first, you asshole.
All right, what random objects did you bring today?
Rabbit. Howdy, Nezumi!
And a tech.
I'm sorry, I know that it's not the kind of thing you're supposed to think about, but I think he actually sounds like anyone here who watched Okja on Netflix. Am I the only one who thinks the bell sounds like Dr. Johnny Wilcox? Is it really?
I have to watch this thing.
Dr.
I'm
Johnny
gonna say
Ozark.
Yes to that.
Because it totally freaking sounds like him.
And then we get introduced to Sento's bike.
Oh my god, I
it's
love
a phone.
It. So he has.
I still hate it.
He has his phone.
Oh, yeah.
And he activates an app, and it just. Big change! And he, like, throws it like it's a goddamn capsule core machine.
Also, the show explained for once, like, they showed, like, oh, where does the rider get, like, his random bike helmet from?
It's
so
just
pulling it out
for
of
that.
His ass. He just presses a button on his, like, heads up display, like, screen
helmets.
On his bike.
Helmets, there's an app for that.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what else the bike tablet screen thing
can do. It was weird,
do.
Too, because when Sento, like, was showing Soichi the bike...
It's not Soichi, it's...
Yeah, Soichi.
Oh, yeah, it is Soichi.
It's Soichi.
Soichi? What do you think?
No, it was interesting how, like, he designed the bike, but his reaction still was if he was seeing it for the first time. He's like, oh, it's amazing! It's genius, isn't it?
Maybe this was his first time using it.
Yeah, I guess so. But, like, the bike... It, like, for function, it's cool, but I just don't like the design. I don't like the giant bottle jutting out of it and the gear.
I wish it wasn't the lion bottle that he used for it.
Why
well, maybe that's a reference
bottle?
To, like, the Lion King.
The Toride Vendor.
Yeah.
It's definitely a reference to the Toride Vendor
from
Oz.
Such a fucking cool bike.
All I heard was Bender.
And we also see in this scene that Sento's watch is a little on the unusual side.
What is that, Eric?
What?
His watch. Remember his watch had all the...
Oh, yeah, that's basic shit everyone saw in high school.
The Excited Three.
The only one I didn't recognize was the one in the 12th position.
So his watch, literally, it's like... Okay. Mathematical equations that are supposed to equal said number on the clock.
Yeah, I was about to say that. When you answer
one of them
it,
was just
the
3 times 3.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12.
I thought
I'm
it was
like,
clever.
I'm like, you can just logic what each number is based on the position, so it's really pointless.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more work, but whatever, man. Smart
it's
guys
funny.
Don't like
it's
it
funny. It's funny to have a watch like that if you're a physicist.
I feel like taking a few more seconds to know what time it is.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? It's something that someone who has
Where's
a really physics-inclined friend that they would buy for some sort of special occasion, thinking that they'll get some sort of kick out of it.
Yeah.
But the person who actually enjoys physics is going to feel really condescended to because this is, like, really basic math.
Or it's someone who bought it for themselves who's super pretentious.
If someone was that pretentious, they'd look at the level of math displayed on the watch and go, please.
No, but at the same time, they'll think to themselves, haha, no one else will be able to figure out what this is.
Really, they should have thrown in some integrals and derivatives if they really wanted to get at an adult level.
I kind of like Sento's humor, too, because, I like when it's like, oh, what, I'm going to use this to get to work. What, you're going to call in sick? Yeah, Moshi Moshi, no!
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if they could fit a matrix on a watch. It's just a square with a bunch of numbers in it, really. You can feel like a 3x3, but that won't equal a
Maybe
number.
Maybe you can do that. You'd be the first person in history.
But then you'd have to... That'd be hard. That'd be really weird.
It wouldn't equal
a number either.
And this is why we had him on.
Yeah. I'm just thinking out loud.
Eric's confused.
I'm just throwing the ideas in my head. I'm just sticking them... Throwing them on the wall, see if it sticks.
So then meanwhile, while Sento's going off to the institute or whatever like that,
which he's only going to work for so he can pay off the rent, not because he's interested in the
Well, he is interested in the Pandora box.
That is an afterthought, though. It's like, I have to get a job, go apply to the institute. That means I can work with the Pandora box.
Yeah. But then we get introduced into our secondary character, who's going to eventually be Kamen Rider Claws.
Or Clothes,
I think it's Claws.
I'm seeing Clothes a lot.
Banjo Ryuga.
Who I'm going to refer to for the next year as Kazooie.
He played Nagase in Amazon Season 2.
And I hate him.
Me and Gar liked him a lot, so I'm excited for this character as well. Because I thought his acting was really good in the So
doesn't matter how good his acting is if I didn't like the character.
Well, that's your
I think
fault.
Kazooie blows.
Why don't
I'm a canon?
he just didn't like the character he played in Amazon.
Is it because of the shirt or?
Do you not like him because of he wears dirty shirts?
No, I was just
his characterization doesn't work for me.
So he's escaping from like the
undefined prison of some sort.
But he was in a sewer. He finds a dirty shirt, which you can buy now on Premium Bandai.
Yep.
So
already established.
Premium Bandai dirty shirt.
Pay $70 to look like a hobo.
So
that is some fucking expensive dirt.
Does the wall extend into the sewers as well?
That's a good question.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Because I was just thinking about that.
Does the sky wall go underground?
Yeah. Also, all walls are sky walls. Just saying.
I like to think that, like,
there's no such thing as an underground wall.
I like to think that wavy red energy that emits off the wall goes underground. So.
And by the way, let's just point out something about the sky wall. I'm pretty confident that the sky wall decided not to swerve its way around houses and buildings. So let's maybe pour one out for anyone who lived along the section of Japan that was immediately bisected by the sky wall.
What if there was like a mother and a family, and the father and like his son or something, and then like was on one side, and the mother and the daughter was on the other side.
And then the sky wall divides the table.
It's like, fuck you!
Maybe
I want a divorce.
Maybe by sheer coincidence, there just so happens to be a line in the country where coincidentally there is no economy.
I'm pretty sure there's just farmland. I'm pretty sure that when during the shot where the skywall came up, I saw at least one house get destroyed.
Well, I'm pretty sure a bunch of people died too.
Well, you know what? If Michael Bay wants to watch what he calls porn.
No, I know, but we can extrapolate from there that the skywall probably destroyed a lot more property.
Mm.
So, how lucky was it that the main character, I can't remember his name on top of my head.
Sento.
How lucky was it that he's on not only the side of the wall that has where his work is right now, but also the side of the wall that has Pandora's box?
Yeah, by the way, if the skywall originated from Pandora's box, how is the box on any one side of the wall and
not immediately... Yeah, it should be, like, in the middle.
Exactly.
Wait, did it, like, sprout out from it?
Yeah.
Well, no, the wall... No, because the wall, like... The guy activated the box, and then we just saw the wall spawn from underground.
But if it
started
from a point...
Yeah, it spawned from under the boxes. It split into three paths.
If it started from somewhere other than where exactly the Pandora's box is, then there has to be something underneath the exact epicenter of the skywall.
That's where they are. That's where the bad guys are.
Maybe it's a Cenobite hell. I thought it was the puzzle box from
Hellraiser.
Oh,
I thought he said Cinnabon for a second
there. I heard Cinnabon hell.
That's where the Cinnabon is.
The Cenobite hell. I thought it was the puzzle box from Hellraiser.
So then, like, Gentoku is, like, questioning, Sento about, like, the test he took because he got a perfect score, and he's like, why did you write down probably a physicist? He's like, oh, because I'm an amnesiac or whatever like that. I don't remember.
And he got, like, oddly excited about that. He's like, you don't say.
I'm like, huh. It's like, okay.
Well, yeah, I think he knows. I think he's part of the bad guys. Like, he's part of the bat dude.
Yeah.
He may even be the bat dude for
all
we know.
We're pretty
confident. Oh, yeah. Everyone I've ever worked on has had amnesia.
We're pretty confident that Gentoku is Night Rogue, and our working theory based on this episode is that Sento was, in fact, a Smash who was defeated by someone else and was left in that alley without his memories. The theory that a lot of people are going on is that he was actually the Rabbit Smash, because if you think about it, if he started with the Rabbit and Tank bottles, how would he have beaten him, and who would he have extracted the powers from?
That's true.
So maybe he was the Rabbit Smash.
Yeah, and isn't his name like a name, like means rabbit or something?
I'd have to look that
up.
Yeah,
no, I'm pretty sure. Because I think, I saw someone made a mention that when, like, the drawing that, what's-her-face put on Sento's face when he woke up, it was, like, making a reference to him being a rabbit.
I know that the word Sento means war.
Okay.
But it could have multiple meanings.
Yeah.
That would mean we'd end up having a concurrent Pretty Cure season, and we already have a concurrent Pretty Cure season and concurrent Kamen Rider season, which both of the main characters' themes involve red or pink, and one half of it is a rabbit.
Nice.
So then, like, Sento notices Ryuga's on television or whatever like that, and, like, they're looking for him, so he's like, okay, I'll go look for him myself.
Well, he only goes to look for him because Coffee Dad tells him that there's a Smash signal nearby.
Yeah, okay. Right. So then, like,
Which turns out to be a complete random, like, chance, because the Strong Smash shows up not too long after.
Yeah. So Ryuga, like, stole, one of the Guardian's bike motorcycles, I suppose, and then Sento's chasing him, and then he, like, does this really cool thing where, like, he shoots a barrel that's, like, ahead of Ryuga and, like, shoots it at an angle where, like, it'll topple over in front of where Ryuga's driving, so then...
And knocks him off the bike.
Knocks him off the bike, and I was like, oh, he thought, he, like,
I'm looking forward
that.
To
that
seeing,
was awesome.
I'm looking forward to seeing lots of moves like this in the show where he just calculates the perfect method and angle of attack.
Yeah. Judging by that graph, he literally turned himself into a human baseball.
We're not there yet.
Oh, shit, I thought we were.
No.
No, we're talking about when he was chasing down on the bike.
So he's talking to Ryuga, and, like, Ryuga tries fighting him, and, like, yeah, we find out that Ryuga used to be, like, a pro fighter or something like that, so he, you know, he's able to take down some Guardians by himself.
Threw in that flashback. I don't know. Oh, by the way, he's a boxer.
And apparently he was accused of murdering one of the Institute's researchers, but Ryuga says he didn't do it.
He probably didn't do it.
He probably did not.
I didn't mean it!
Tell me I'm not the only one who thought Asian Matt Murdock's dad.
Or, because we know he was a victim of the Smash experimentation, maybe he did it while he was a Smash.
He's the Dragon Smash.
Probably.
It's going to take a while to get used to the word Smash being used in this way.
I know, right?
You gotta say the Smash!
I just keep thinking of that UK mashed potatoes commercial. You know, the like fake mashed potatoes, and they're called Smash, and they say, for mash, get smash.
I don't know that.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
So apparently Sento can use the full bottles without, like, transforming.
He can, like, use them as civilian powers.
Yeah, so he, like, shakes the rabbit full bottle, and then he, like, speeds around Ryuga and does this really, like, kind of really graceful, like, spin kick
at
Ryuga. It was awesome.
There's two schools of thought on this. If we see him use other full bottle powers like that, then we know it's just something of his invention. If it's just rabbit, that lends credence to the theory that he used to be the Rabbit Smash.
Yeah, I'll keep that in my mind.
So,
observation.
It could be either of those at this point.
Yeah. So then, what's it called?
The Strong Smash.
Strong Smash shows up and, like, tries, like, pushing a car at them.
I laughed so much at its design because it's literally a fist with legs.
Oh my god, it is a fist with legs.
I didn't even see that.
Like, the purple parts on it were, like, the fingers.
And, like, Ryuga tries punching him, it doesn't do shit.
It's
like, Sento's like, yeah, no, that's not gonna work,
it's like if someone tried to mod Master Hand onto an actual fighter in Smash.
That sounds like a bad Chuck Norris joke.
Get it, Smash!
So then the Strong Smash takes Ryuga, jumps him somewhere else, and then Sento manages to follow him.
Which is great, because they actually gave somewhat of an on-screen justification for a random and abrupt scene change.
Yeah.
Which is something Ryder does not do that often.
Mm-hmm. And then, Sento decides, okay, I'm gonna transform into Bell.
The monster had to take him and leap across the fucking sky, and Sento just walks up a minute later like it took no effort to catch up.
Maybe he biked there.
Well, obviously he did, but my point is, like, it's taking you a little bit longer than that.
Mm-hmm. So the transformation of build, it's an interesting one.
So he starts shaking the bottles.
Which, actually, I'm really taking a liking to, like,
yeah,
that motion. I like that. So probably when I get a set of full balls, I'm just always going to be going, like, like, at work we have, like, these shake markers that we use to, like, put timers on the coffees so customers, like, know how long the fresh the coffee's been. So usually I just take both the markers, and every time I'm, like, about to do it, I just go shake, 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 shake at work, and it's really fun.
So as he's shaking them, we get some, like, Sherlock-level random math formulas flying around.
Yeah, and even Eric was like, I could not
make out because of the weird ankle.
Yeah.
I think I saw Gauss's Law on there somewhere.
Okay.
I kind of hope that isn't a regular thing.
Yeah. It's like, even the Smash was like looking at it like,
what?
What
the fuck is this? It was kind of intrusive, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't needed.
What I was hoping was going to happen is as he shook them, they started, like, lighting up to, like, you know, activate them.
Yeah. And then he, like, puts in the bell driver and, like, you know, you hear, Rabbit Tank! And it's, like, really cool. Best match! And
I still like the fact that the henshin for him is, it looks like you're building a Gundam. It has, like, the sprue.
The frames.
Of everything. And then it, like, comes together.
Well, I just don't like him just standing there turning the crank. That's just, like, really, like... The thing I like about a rider transforming is that they always do, like, a cool, like, pose or something. That's why I, like, drives Henshin, because, like, he, like, does the thing with the shift car, and then he does this really cool, like, pose before he transforms the drive. It's really awesome. So.
I have kind of mixed feelings about the cranking. Like, objectively, without the effects, it does look really stupid. But if you think about the fact that as he's cranking it, the materials from the bottle are, like, going through these test tubes and, like, manifesting into the actual armor. Thinking about the fact that him turning the crank is what's causing all this to happen, it kind of makes sense in a weird way.
Oh, no, of course. Because he's mixing everything together.
But
so.
What I like...
You know what he, like... Sorry, go on.
What I like the most about the transformation is that once each half of the armor is fully manifested... They actually just, like, straight up clap
together
onto him.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Imagine if someone startled him right there, and then cuts his fucking arm off. Just snaps.
Ah!
Snap!
Wow.
As much as I would like something like that to happen, it probably won't.
But yeah,
I know,
we get like
it would be really funny.
We got like a zoom in of the inside of the Bell Driver, and it's like gears,
cool.
And you just hear like ding 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 ding, like the theme going off and stuff.
That song that plays while he's cranking, I actually really like that sound effect, and I've already made it my ringtone.
There you go.
I fucking knew you would.
Yeah.
Called it like the day it happened.
Called it like the phone.
And then yeah, so we like the it shows up like a bunch of like tubes and stuff, and then Mick forms the armor, and it kind of does look like a thing like model kits and stuff like that. And then like he kind of just like has his arms up, and then he goes down, and he's like henshin, and then like just bam, it just like closes on him. And then like when the armor is complete and he actually forms the suit, like smoke comes off of it. And
well,
I actually like that effect. That was
I
really
think it's
neat.
Like steam.
Oh yeah, it's steam
because it's a machine.
And then while it's going like Hagane no Moon Soto, like he does like the really cool like kind of hand gesture pose. And I kind of hope he does that like for every single.
You mean
like,
the one where he's referring like the and then the spark?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
So I hope he does that like a cool pose with like every single. Best match he has, so
he probably will. One thing that was interesting is when he poses after the henshin, he does this thing with his hand where like he's got his thumb, index, and middle finger pointed in different directions.
Yep.
And that's actually a thing in science. It's Fleming's right hand rule.
Yeah.
I don't remember the details of what that is, but maybe
yeah.
You
what's
tell
that
us.
Represent, Eric?
When you have two vectors and a vector represents something going in a particular direction, you have this thing called the cross product where you multiply them in a way they got multiplied, and there's a vector that's perpendicular to the plane they create, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you use your fingers to curve your hand around those two vectors and to figure out where that cross product vector is pointing. So you think of these two vectors like this,
mm-hmm.
Curve your hand around them. Curve your no your fingers make it no put your finger up like this, curve your fingers around
them.
I'm sorry,
podcast.
You can't see
yeah,
this.
I'm sorry.
Put your fingers around them like that, like underneath.
Pretend you're jacking off
huge
dicks.
I can't do it.
Stop it.
Whatever. Anyways,
stupendously large.
So why is
hey,
it
jerk
multiple?
Me off just like this.
For example, current and radius.
Okay, so it's about, like, directions.
Google the right-hand rule if you give a shit.
It's called, like, again, Toei's, like, going full in on their
gimmick.
It's very
difficult but really it's high school level.
I like it.
Mathematical framing.
Stop, it's your blood starts. But no, the henshin's cool. I think it's a bit, like, too much, in my opinion, but...
Here's the thing. The amount of visual effects that has to go into this henshin... I'm looking forward to seeing riding henshins. I'm looking forward to seeing henshins while he's moving.
Or eventually in the final few last episodes where it's just like, oh, we don't have time to fucking do the whole sequence.
He'll just like crank and then just...
Yeah.
Or as we saw when he switched to Hedgehog Tank, it'll just go like, poof.
Yeah, just...
It'll
yeah,
be
I like
X-Aid where they take out the log transformation.
Probably. They do it every year.
Also, the Build Crusher comes from his belt too, which is cool. So...
It's weird, because, like, it comes from the bottles instead of the belt, even though it's not tied to any one bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's coming from the bottle side of the belt instead of the, like, silver big gear, which I thought it was going to.
But I gotta say, like, how Bill uses his, like, suit, it's very, like, you know, the rabbit side, it's a spring. So, like, we see him when he's, like, riding, he, like, kicks a bunch of missiles away, like, springs them back towards the enemy that was firing them. When, like, Ryuga's... driving the bike, you know, Bill's actually using his tank foot as an actual, like, tank tread and making them go faster because, like, it's an actual tank.
I don't know about making them go faster, but it's just letting him, like, hang behind the bike so he can use his other foot to kick away the rockets.
I think so, but I think it was making them faster, too, but so they could get away.
Well, I mean, tanks aren't exactly known for their speed.
It wasn't making him go faster, it was allowing him to plant his foot flat on the ground so that he could continue to do other things with his other foot so without having to actually move. It was being like a tread or a wheel.
Yeah. So, while they're fighting, we get to see him switch to Hari Nezumi Tank, which is...
It's nice, and it's like everyone's like on the same consensus that it's like, oh, it's a cool form.
Yeah, it's white and blue. It looks really good together.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just...
It's like Fang Trigger.
Kinda. But then he switches back to Rabbit Tank to do the Boltec finish or Voltec finish, depending on your sub. I thought it was Boltec because I thought it came from bottle. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I don't know. Voltec just seems to come out of nowhere.
This is one of the weirdest rider kicks I've ever seen, man. Like,
and we've gotten used to seeing a rider kick that involves bouncing off of a car.
We'll never see that again, by the way. That's for like another like 20 episodes.
Awesome.
So the motherfucker launches his finisher and then says, "Wait a second!" Turns around and runs half a yard away.
Jumps into a hole in the ground like a rabbit would do.
Oh, I just got that.
Yeah, that's why I noticed that right away.
An actual rabbit, like Bugs Bunny would do.
Yeah, and then out of nowhere, a giant manifested graph appears and comes in from both sides and locks the monster into place. So we have a rider kick that actually paralyzes the monster. So I'm glad that that has an explanation instead of a monster.
It's a callback to Fuzz.
Yeah, kinda.
There you go.
They paralyze the monster.
And then Bill gets launched out of his rabbit hole, and along the line of this perfect graph that calculates the exact angle of this rider kick, literally slides along it like he's a fucking cartoon character.
And there would also have to be a correct initial force.
And what I like...
So explain this graph to us.
All he's doing, really, is applying a momentary force to himself, essentially transforming him into a human baseball.
Didn't you say it was like a sign or something?
No, it's shaped that way, but here's the thing. That does not represent an accurate projectile motion graph. An accurate projectile motion graph would look more like somewhat similar to a parabola, but slightly distorted because of air resistance.
Well, maybe that graph's just supposed to represent, like, you know, oh, that's how, like, a good rider kicks.
Somehow, I don't think they were shooting for real-world accuracy.
Yeah,
that is just my theory.
I was about to say... Or it's just a mathematics motif, and they decided to make it sine wave themed.
Because it's prettier. Nobody wants to look at a parabola. They look like giant penises.
What I like the most about this rider kick, though, is that when he kicked the smash, he kicked him with the tank leg. So pretty much, it's safe to assume that when he hit him, he was hitting him with the force of a tank.
Which
so,
is kind of the idea.
Yeah, and that's really neat. So I like that. But no, this is like. It's not my favorite rider kick, but, like, I just don't like that the actual, like, graph shows up. Like, if it was, like, just kind of like, oh, it looks like this or something, that would be cool, and then it disappears or something. But no, it actually shows up, and it just weirds me out.
I would definitely put it in the running, if not winning, most bizarre rider kick.
Mm-hmm.
Most creative rider kick.
Ride a kick of science.
Pretty creative.
But I like.
You're gonna integrate the physics theme
into
this whole thing.
I like the concept behind it. He calculated the exact force and speed and angle he has to
he trapped the guy in the grass because if that didn't happen, that'd be an incredibly impractical move.
Mm-hmm.
No, hold on, wait. Stay right there. I gotta turn myself into a human
that's
baseball.
That's just the trope in tokusatsu
in
general. The enemy waits around.
You've watched Power Rangers. The monster always stands around and waits while they do the finisher.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, but they're very few.
So then, like, the smash gets reverted back to...
Did you just dodge? What the fuck's going on?
So then the smash gets reverted back to a human, and of course we find out that, like, whenever a human... returns to being like a normal human from being a smash, they don't remember anything. So,
which means we're gonna go for a long time of defeating smashes of the week until he learns anything of use.
There will be one who will remember,
or he'll like
calling
get his hands, or he'll get his hands on Night Rogue.
Yeah. So then Gentoku and like a bunch of guardians show up, and they're like, "Oh,
you brought us the murderer. Arrest him."
And then, just like, Sento, he does, like, this pose or whatever like that. And just, he, like, crouches down. He's just like, "Fuck, I'm gonna regret this, aren't I?" And, like, summons his bike. And then he just goes, like, "All right, let's go, come on!
All right, pain in the ass,
yeah,
I'll save
that.
You.
I love that pose he just makes. He's just like, "This is terrible."
Yeah. Drama between men.
Reminds me of X-Aid when, like, Dan, like, just, like, died in his chair.
Yeah.
So then they're escaping, and then we get this cool chase scene. So it's cool that we're once again seeing a rider who's actually using his vehicle.
Yeah.
Like X-Aid, or even fucking Ghost, who used his bike two times.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we'll be seeing more bike usage this year.
Any fucking used the bike really well. Like, yeah. He drove it up against the wall and shit. And
oh my god, that... So the Guardians chase him up, and I don't know if it was Ryuga or Senta who decided, yeah, let's drive up onto the wall that divided the country and killed a bunch of people. And then, once they're up there, fuck it, drive back down, like, straight perpendicular downwards, all the way down the wall.
Ryuga's just like, ah!
Oh! Yeah, close like, up on his face.
Yeah, he's okay. Like freaking out.
Okay, yeah. I figured out his henshin. The thing that is henshin, the graph, is called a Brachydotrone. Dotrone. I posted a link in the Discord if you want to see.
Are
the
you
name
talking about his rider kick or his henshin?
You know, his rider kick, where he does that graph.
Oh.
Because I saw a Vsauce video of him and Adam Savage making one. And what it is...
Can you spell the word that you've said?
B-R-A-C-H-I-S-T-O-C-H-R-O-N-E.
I almost thought I could pronounce that. Then it was too many letters.
Yeah. No, I posted
the link
in the Discord.
I heard Brachy something.
And what it is it's a graph that show the perfect rate of acceleration of a falling object.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Rate of acceleration of a falling object?
Yeah, because they made a real working graph out of it out of plastic, and they did it with three different models, like going straight down and going out and everything, and they dropped three balls at the exact same time on this ramp they made, and the perfect middle one always the one that landed first.
I just love how Eric was like, yeah, that sounds like physics. Yeah,
it's physics.
I give that a pass.
Well, there's a video of it in the Discord chat, and I'll even pin it for anyone who wants to see it.
So then Bill does this really cool thing where like he jumps off the bike and like grabbing Ryuga, and then he like just like digs the Bill Crusher into the wall to like hang on, and then just like the Guardian who's chasing him just like follows the bike down, and then it like turns back to the phone. The bike Guardian explodes, and the phone just goes, yeah!
It just lands on the floor perfectly okay, which means the build phone was made by Nokia.
Yeah, but it's a Nokia phone.
And just, yeah! And like we all died.
It's like the phone is giving the dead robot sass.
I know.
I love it.
It's great.
And then we get the theme, and then Sento decides...
actually do that.
Sento decides to be an asshole, and he's like, by the way, like, you're not an idiot. Like, you know, a real idiot's not an idiot or something.
Idiot wouldn't say that they're an idiot.
Yeah. And then Sento just decides to be an asshole. Well, by the way, your fly's been open the entire time. Proceed for, like, all week. Everyone's just, like, they zoom in on fucking Ryuga's, like, open fly on his pants, and then you just hear, like, yay! And everyone's been making jokes and stuff and memes using, like, his fly or whatever. One of my favorites is just, like, you see Garen in the hole, and then just...
Tachibana-san! Nasemi-tenen-desu!
Why are you watching me from his pants? And then he's like, what? How long? And he's like, since the beginning. And I actually went back, and the whole time, he had his fly open in his pants.
That's some Berenstain Bears bullshit.
Don't get into that. That fucked with my entire childhood.
Although we did see an actual VHS tape that has it spelled the way we thought it was, so we're not exactly crazy.
I know I've seen a Berenstain, not Berenstain.
Anyways.
And then so, we see Night Rogue on the wall, and he's like, the war has begun, and I'm like, what war?
So here's the
talking
thing.
About?
We'll find out, I guess.
So here's the thing. Build's secret identity is a secret, yes?
Yes.
But he rides the same bike, henshin to end, as Sento. So how the fuck is he going to maintain a secret identity?
I like to think when he got to the Institute, he reverted it back to the phone.
Chris,
it turns into a phone.
Chris, you're full of shit, because you know what? Drive went around with the fucking goddamn thing on his wrist all the time, and no one saw that coming either.
And he drove the
turret! And I was angry about that, too!
Well, at least he's consistent.
And had the same car!
Yeah.
That's what I was saying, and I was angry about that, too!
So, you know what? People in Japan, fucking blind.
Then there was that one, then there was that one little girl in Double who looked at Double and was like, you're my papa! You're definitely my papa! And Double's like, papa!
Even though he was was four-colored instead of two-colored. Fuck Japanese people and Kamen Rider are dumb.
But yeah, honestly, really solid first episode. I'm liking where the show is going. So I hope it keeps it up. And it's,
next
it's
week
impressed me so far.
I couldn't follow the plot at all.
It's okay. We just wanted you here for the physic references.
It's your turn.
Next week is about Bill being a fugitive and the debut of Gorillamon form.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Gorillamon.
Has this been the first time that Kamen Rider went from sweet, everyone loves me, to oh, fuck, now I'm a fugitive?
I mean, it's nothing remarkable. I mean, the Gaim pilot wasn't even remarkable.
No.
All these shows...
Like, the Gaim pilot was arguably... deceptively unremarkable.
Yeah, we didn't know. Yeah. Like we didn't. We're like, what is this?
We didn't even review the Gaim pilot because we started on Gaim episode 20.
Never judge it simply by its pilot.
Well, when we started Cast Ranger, we talked about episodes 1 to 20 in the span of one recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily, what did you think of the first episode of Build?
First episode of Build, it has a very different flavor than X8 did. It had.
I mean, I hope so.
X8 had a sort of colorful flavor. This has a more,
Gaim had an orange flavor.
God damn it!
Ghost's flavor was just pure shit, so...
Why are you talking about fanfic?
Oh, I had to.
Isn't the...
You're banned from Discord, damn it!
Isn't that the fanfic that happened before the Spectre movie? You know, the only good part of that franchise?
Kamen Rider Spectre
V Cinema is the Sonic Mania of Kamen Rider Ghost.
Yeah.
It was made by people who really, truly care about Ghost and don't want the original creators.
Those poor bastards.
I thought Ghost was made by Garage Hero for a second there.
Ouch, you mean Garbage Hero?
No.
I'm just kidding. No. Bueno does good work.
Yeah. Looking forward to Strega.
Still gotta talk about fucking...
I backed him on Indiegogo.
Yeah. I also backed him on Indiegogo.
Wake me up before you, Indiegogo.
I'm gonna fucking...
Why is that not their
you?
Theme song?
She just, like, was... He had, like, an aneurysm.
First, I went, like, from fuck you to... Oh my god, that's brilliant!
Oh, man.
David, what did you think of episode 1, Bill?
You know my motto. I have to wait for the third episode.
Oh, that's true. And if they make a Forza reference, I am boycotting the entire show.
Forza reference, and I'll skip it like I did the last one.
Really? A reference will piss you off.
Well, X8 wasn't the last one.
That's quite the story.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about our theories for the show. So it's everyone has a pretty confident guess that Gentoku is Night Rogue, and that Nariaki, aka the love child of Spectre and Brain, is probably Bloodstark.
Just those names. They sound like heavy metal bands.
I can't wait to see the rest of Bloodstark's suit because the one part of him we saw from the scan looks really cool.
Yeah. I'm excited for
Bloodstark.
But I'm looking forward to Ryuga too. I'm looking forward to see where his character goes, and I like his cool jacket that he has. It's a pretty cool jacket.
I have to say, regarding Build's design, it's been a tough battle between like which form I like so far. But I gotta say that out of everything we've seen so far, this might be the first Rider series where my favorite form is the lead Rider's base form.
I really like it.
Out of everything we've seen so far, even Night Rogue, Bloodstark, even Kamen Rider Clothes, Build Rabbit Tank form I like the most. And it's scaring me. I never liked the lead Rider.
Rabbit Tank.
Let alone his base form. Because, like, I went through them in my head. Like, Double Cyclone Joker. I like Cyclone Trigger better. O's Tatuba. Ugly Traffic Light form.
Fuck you.
Forze Base States. Kamen Rider PlayStation 1. No thank you. Wizard Flame Style, I'll take Water Style, thanks. Gaim Orange Arms, ugly, ugly, ugly. Drive Type Speed, didn't like the spoiler.
So, what you're saying is, you just don't like anything. You're the opposite of Lane.
I just don't
literally,
like the...
You're literally the opposite of Lane.
No, I just don't like...
Congratulations, Chris.
No,
you are
like,
such a fucking hipster.
I don't like
everything.
The lead writers. I also noticed that I tend to like the tertiary writers because they tend to be the most well-written.
fucking
Think about
hipster.
It. Chase.
You reverse hipster.
Michi. It's Taiga. All of the tertiary writers in recent series have been the best written characters.
Yeah.
You missed Elaine.
Sorry? Oh, Alan. Yeah, Alan too.
Alan Sima.
Yep. But yeah, I'm like... I'm going into build with a hopeful optimism, and I'm not expecting to be rewarded for it.
I'm looking forward to seeing like more Gorillamon when that debuts next week. That's going to be fucking awesome. I'm looking forward to Kaizoku Ressha, because fucking Pirate Train... Yeah, and also fucking Kuma Televi. I think that's going to be fucking awesome.
Because all of the full bottles sound really, really stupid, I'm looking forward to hopefully having a writer show with a great story and less focus on the gimmicks.
But the gimmicks are so cool.
Agreed. I'm looking forward to just like having a writer show that I can just sit back and watch and not...
I'll
invest
definitely,
too much into.
I'll definitely be buying a couple of bottles. That,
me too.
The ones I like, but it,
probably
I
get the Bill Driver because fuck it, I do it anyways. So
I will not.
Meh.
I will definitely be buying the Trans Steam Gun and Steam Blade, like the Henshin device. And
I wouldn't mind getting the Trans Steam Gun. That looks cool.
I just love that they combine. We've talked about them in previous extras.
Yep.
Paul, what do you think of Build so far?
I already said that. I think it's a solid show.
Okay.
I think it had a. Like I said, its pilot is nothing particularly special, but some of the best rider shows I've ever seen haven't had very special pilots. So.
Right, right. Eric, being a person who has not watched Kamen Rider at all going into this, what were your opinions?
I had no idea what was going on. But, you know, I'm not into the lore. The designs were nice.
Seeing as this is the first episode of the show, you really didn't need too much context on the franchise.
No, because they're different every year.
You know, you can't write a bunch of physics math symbols on the board and say, "Hey guys, that's the theme." We're totally a physics show.
No, they're not.
Science,
Eric. They're not touting stuff. No, don't try to make this into something that it's not. This is not a physics show. This is a show with a fucking math aesthetic, dude. I get it. These guys called you because they thought there might be some sort of conversation.
Well, my expectations were
guys,
I just realized
guys,
it was
fun,
fiction.
And
Ichi,
I
Lane,
enjoyed it.
It's just got a math aesthetic.
I know.
Yeah, we brought him on mostly
Eric.
Just for the joke.
Yeah, Eric likes math. Don't you, Eric?
Well, I got a 96 in vector calculus, so fuck you all.
I just noticed it reminds me a bit of Stranger Than Fiction.
I got 50 in all high school math.
I only got a 76.
You mean that movie where Will Ferrell's life
is
being narrated to him?
Yeah.
Which is a B
plus
in this country.
Okay, let's put it this way. Considering that this is an ongoing Japanese superhero TV show, is it something that you'd continue watching?
Maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe we'll have you on another time.
I'm going to extend to you on the air an open invitation to come back any week you want to watch again with us and be on the show.
Depending.
Aw, thanks, Chris.
depending on how I feel, how well I did today. If I don't come back, then see ya. If I do, then see you next week.
There you go.
Everyone listening and in the comments, tell us what you think of our good friend Quantum Caster,
yes,
and if
you
want him to come
all
back.
All three comments.
He's pretty cool.
Put yourself up there.
I like him.
I like him too.
The more comments that you get on your channel.
You too, Lane.
Hashtag comments for Eric.
Oh no!
No! Do not take that away from me!
That's my thing! If I don't have that, what am I?
Fucking knock your block off.
He's
I'm wearing boxing gloves,
boxing
motherfucker.
Glove,
I am wearing boxing gloves.
I'll go all Banjo-Kazooie on your ass.
Chris, I bet... not Chris. Lane, I bet in my crippled state I can still take you.
Oh, probably.
All you gotta do is punch you in the balls. I'm tall enough.
I'm in a wheelchair and I bet I could take him.
He's Little Mac. All you have to do is fight the air game.
Do you have one good leg?
No, I can't walk.
Anyway, that's the show, everybody.
Build is shaping up to be an interesting show, and I'm still sad X8 is over, but
me
we're getting
too.
More movies, so I'll wait for those happily.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Don't forget about today's sponsor, everyone. Fleshlight.
Indeed.
Fleshlight. Go fuck yourself.
It's fun to be back.
That was the same joke as before.
Yeah, that's the sponsor for the episode.
It isn't really.
No.
Oh. thought you really meant it at first.
So, Paul, do you think that you'll be able to come back and see us again?
I can't let you know, but yes, my plan has been to return and help you guys fight evil and talk about Japanese children's TV shows.
I'm sorry, Paul, but we retcon the whole Metrolinx plot.
We need to fight Metrolinx!
Yes. Ichi did. Because he made a better story!
Doesn't
I don't
fucking
know what
matter.
It is.
Metrolinx
we fight fucking animal
matter.
Aliens or
I'm
some
just
shit.
But I thought Metrolinx
game.
Were the animal aliens.
Chris isn't even the leader!
They were. They were always the animal aliens.
I always thought
we weren't actually fighting Go Transit Lane.
Damn!
I made a compromise. The
spoilers,
name of,
I ride them every few weeks.
The name of the warship is
Giggity.
Lynx.
Yes.
That was our compromise.
Yes.
I
spoiler
like trains.
For the Cast Ranger game.
I really want to be at one of the game... Sorry. One of the game meetings is just so cool.
I'll let you know.
Alright, you do the thing.
Alright, everyone, thank you for listening, watching, liking, favoriting, subscribing, loving, sharing, and just being awesome.
This week?
I'm
sorry?
Not subscribed.
Is there a new shirt this week?
Yes. You know what? Because Paul is joining us for the first time in a long time, I think this week we'll put out the Greencaster shirt.
Cool.
Nice.
Sweet! You're bringing a shirt about me?
Yeah!
No,
yeah! My shirt! Finally!
Greencaster Nego.
We'll put out the silver slash mercury shirt next week.
Yeah!
How on earth would the hipster caster logo work?
It would just be a scarf.
It would be a scarf. It would be brown colored for coffee, and then it would just have glasses on it.
No, your helmet just needs to have a man bun,
yeah.
And you're good.
No! Guys,
isn't there, like,
it's
an
a scarf!
Ranger with a hat with, like, basically a man bun on it?
No one listening to me?
Or a rider?
Paul's taking out his headphones, but I'm listening. What were you saying?
Sorry.
It's a scarf!
A scarf.
Yeah, that's his thing. It's the hipster caster.
Paul
it's
has given the thumbs up.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay, so. As always, the hub site for our nonsense is castranger.podbean.com. Check out our Facebook page, fb.com/rscastranger. Tweet at us at Ixie Studios. Check out the links on our site for our links to our Discord, which is available for anyone to come and listen live and talk to us daily. Check out our merchandise store, where we have not only the Cast Ranger title emblem shirt that our good friend Emily is wearing currently, but also emblems of the different casters that are released every week.
Yeah.
And as each new shirt is released, they are on sale for the first 72 hours. So if
they
you
are.
Want anyone in particular, pay attention to the sales.
Blue.
I actually got my blue caster shirt this past week as well. Yeah!
I got my Cast Ranger hat, and it didn't have the emblem on it, so I sent it back.
What?
Well, that's, you know,
it
anyway.
It was just a black hat.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
So long.
Coast
farewell, Avengers, and goodbye.
See ya!
Look down.
So long.
Bye bye!
Chill out, y'all.
Thank
we
you
meet
for
again.
Guys.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.